So how many want to go with us next time? All right, we got a few takers here. Actually, that wasn't some of us guys went whitewater rafting last weekend. It wasn't quite like that. It was a little bit tamer, but it was pretty exciting. We had a great time. Didn't lose anybody permanently. Lost people temporarily, but yeah, it was a good time. We went on the I still can't say the name of this river, Youghiogheny River, in Pennsylvania. And we went on Saturday, and then Sunday morning I woke up, I don't know, kind of early Sunday morning, and was thinking about Sunday and what I wanted to talk about with the guys that day. And so I had this weird kind of mishmash of, you know, after you've done something for a whole day, what happens that night? You like, all you can think about is that thing, whitewater rafting. We went to hear the band competitions at OSU yesterday, and all last night I was hearing these bands going through my mind. But anyway, it was kind of like that. I woke up Sunday morning kind of had this mishmash of scripture and whitewater rafting all in my head, and I felt like God gave me a message about what I learned from whitewater rafting. So it started last Sunday morning, and I worked on it since then, and that's kind of going to be the basis of my message today. The first thing that I learned in whitewater rafting is that I am responsible for my own choices. Now, I don't know if you've gone on any of these kind of things before, but they don't let you do anything until you sign this little waiver of liability, okay? And what this is, anybody ever signed one of these, gone on anything where you had to sign one of these? Yeah, some of you? Makes you feel a little bit funny, doesn't it, when you have to kind of sign and you read through it. Let me read you some of this. It says, I fully understand and acknowledge the outdoor recreational activities have A, inherent risks, dangers, and hazards. Okay? And B, that my participation in such activities and equipment may result in injury or illness, including but not limited to bodily injury, disease, strains, fractures, partial and total paralysis, death, and other ailments. Had to be a lawyer that wrote that. That could cause serious disability. And then C is the one that gets me the most here. These risks and dangers may be caused by the negligence of owners, employees, officers, and agents of the rental agency. But they're still not responsible. So that's what you're signing here. The guide may misjudge the terrain, weather, trail, or river route, or the location or the water risks. So anyways, I hereby assume all risks and dangers and all responsibility. And you sign. I didn't read this till I got home, so as the lawyers would tell you, you're supposed to read everything before you sign it, but I didn't do that. I was ready to go whitewater rafting. But anyways, that's the first thing that I thought about that in relation to, as Christians and also as just people, everybody in the world, that you know what? Whether you sign a form like that or not, you are responsible. It's true for life in general. It seems sometimes that no one wants to take responsibility nowadays. If I hadn't been raised the way I was, I would turn out differently. Or if I had a different boss, I would react differently or respond differently. Or different coworkers. That would be the key. If I didn't have the kids that I have or the spouse that I have, I could be a better husband or a better parent. But you know, it's them. Well, I think we all have to realize that we make our own choices. We make our own choices about what's important in life. And if you look back on the choices you made this past week, those are choices you made. You chose to do those things. You decide. And if we look at it from a spiritual aspect, our ultimate destination of heaven or hell lies with the personal choice that you make. There's no such thing as this group coming to a decision and all of us together, you know, because somebody decided we're all saved. It doesn't work that way. We have individual choices in this. Sometimes I it, It cracks me up to hear this term Christian nation, because I think, how can a nation choose to follow Christ? It's individual choices of people to follow Christ or not, not a nation. So we have choices that we make. The choice to follow Christ is ultimately yours, and you will be the one who answers to Jesus Christ on that day of judgment. Nobody else is going to stand in there for you. Nobody else is going to answer for you. Your pastor isn't. Those people that discipled you are not going to be there. It's going to be you and Christ. You will be the one who answers. So I think we need to understand that whether you realize it or not, you have to sign this liability form, because you are ultimately responsible. And yes, we are affected by people around us. We're affected by situations in life. But we have choices about how we respond to those situations. If you really want to follow Christ, you will, regardless of your situation. You want to have victory over sin? Choose to surrender that part of your life to Christ. You want to grow in your walk with God? Well, people can help point you in the right direction, but it's ultimately you that have to decide and make those choices that will help you grow in your life with God. It's your choice to walk the walk. Nobody else does. Well, the second thing I learned is to be prepared. Now, after we signed that liability form, it was interesting, and I brought some of similar equipment along today, but it's interesting what you need to go whitewater rafting. It seems to be quite a bit of equipment here. See if I can get up here and explain it to you. Actually, I forgot one of the items, but for one, you need a life jacket. This is pretty important. And the reason being is, you know, you are in a raft, but chances are you're not going to stay there. Some people actually made it through the whole trip, but some people actually found themselves floating down the stream without a raft. And that's a pretty common occurrence. So life jacket is pretty important to have on a whitewater rafting trip. Of course, a paddle, you know, I don't know if you, we actually found somebody's paddle while we were going down the river. It was kind of jammed in between some rocks, and we wrestled it out and took it on down, and sure enough, we saw a raft of somebody who, you know, lost their paddle. They got stuck down in there. So this isn't actually a raft paddle. This is for a kayak, but that's the closest that I had. So you need a paddle. One of the things that is an optional piece of equipment, does anybody know what this is? I heard a little whispers. Say it out loud. A wetsuit, yeah. Toward, you know, when it's like in the fall or the spring, it gets kind of chilly. The water can be really cold, so a wetsuit can help keep you warm, and most of our guys opted for wetsuits. Now, the thing about wetsuits is they look pretty good like this, but when you get them on, it's a little different. I actually asked permission to use that picture this morning because I figured. So yeah, some of the preparation, you know, you got to be willing to swallow your pride a little bit to prepare. So another thing that you need is shoes. Now, they're pretty essential because rivers have rocks. And so if you come out of that thing and you need to stand up or anything, you don't want to be in there barefoot. So some good water shoes is pretty essential in that. Speaking of rocks, helmets. We had to wear helmets because not only are there rocks in the river, but they're hanging off the sides and there's big boulders. And you have to be, you know, I don't know if anybody actually used our helmet, but we could have. I mean, we came in contact with some rocks. Now, what this made me think of as far as equipment is, as believers, we also should go through life equipped. And I thought of this passage in Ephesians in that regard, and probably most of you are familiar with it. Paul's encouragement to the Ephesians in chapter 6. He says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. And I'll skip to verse 13. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. So we have a list of equipment there that Paul describes to us. And it makes me wonder, you know, how often we go through life without some essential pieces of equipment. So if you were to make a choice in here of these things that I went through for whitewater rafting, which one would you choose to do without? Or would you choose to do without several of them? Anybody choose to go without a life jacket in whitewater rafting? Anybody think you're a strong enough swimmer? Some people might think they're a strong enough swimmer, they don't need a life jacket. How about a paddle? Now, I think, theoretically, I thought about, I wonder if you could get down this stream if you just kind of hunkered down in the raft and waited till you got to the end. It's possible, but not likely. You'll probably get dumped over if you don't navigate the stream properly. So a paddle is pretty essential. But think about that. You wouldn't do that if you're going on a whitewater rafting trip. And we shouldn't do that as we go through life as believers. We have access to all kinds of things that God has given us to use in our walk with Him. And so we need to utilize those. This passage talks about many of those things. Utilize prayer. Pray. It says pray at all times for all things. Pray all the time. Utilize that tool that God has given you to handle the circumstances that you find yourself in. Keep yourself buried in the Word of God. Utilize that tool. The water's rough, the boulders are big, and the river will take it to you. There's no question. But if you're properly equipped, you will emerge not without scars, but you will emerge victorious. So I'm encouraging you, don't try it without proper equipment. The thing along with that is you need to know what not to take. And I think in our Christian lives, we kind of have some baggage that we want to drag along with us in this walk. And the guide was pretty clear. He said, you know, you don't want to take any iPods, you don't want to take any cameras, you don't want to take anything, I guess it's time for me to quit. You don't want to take anything electronic and anything valuable, because the chances are electronic stuff is going to get wet and not work anymore. If you have a diamond ring or something, chances are it's going to be on the bottom of the river somewhere by the time you get done with your trip. So it's important for us to not only be prepared in knowing what to use and what to take with us, but what not to take. It reminds me of the verse in Hebrews chapter 12 that says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. There are things that we need for the trip, and there are other things that only distract and hinder us. And you know what those things are in your lives as you walk with God. So let's leave those things behind. Take the things you need. Leave the others behind that just weigh you down. All right, the third thing that I realized is that guides are essential. We went out to Pennsylvania, never been to this part of Pennsylvania, never seen the Youghiogheny River before. And so we really didn't, I'd never been whitewater rafting before. So I really didn't have any idea what I was getting into. I didn't know if this was going to be hard, easy. And of course, on the river, I had no idea what was coming up and what we should do about it. So guides, I found them to be essential on this trip. We didn't actually have a guide in our raft, but we had guides in front of us, behind us, beside us, telling us what we should do, and they didn't even laugh at us when we didn't do what they told us to do. So they were good. But they're essential. And before we even got on the river, we probably spent 15 or 20 minutes with instruction about how to do this. Now, I'm not too good at instructions because after a while it just kind of, and I just kind of gloss over and I think, well, I'll just figure it out once we get out there. I'm sure it's not that hard. But I realized, you know, that he said a lot of essential things that I was trying to remember and pull up. Now, what are we supposed to do in this case again? I can't remember what he said. We made it through, but it's important to pay attention to instructions. And maybe sometimes you feel that way when you listen to a sermon or a lecture, and you think, I think I got that figured out. I'm not sure I need to listen to that too closely, or maybe your mind just glazes over, and then you get out into next week, into those rapids, and you think, man, this is harder than what I thought it was going to be. What was it that we talked about that could help me through this? So it's important for us to listen to the instructions that the guide gives us. You know, 5 minutes into the trip, we were still trying to figure out how to steer that raft. We ended up, we're floating sideways down the river, and we saw rocks coming, and I'm like, this isn't working real well, guys. You know, how do we get this thing straightened and turned around? What were all those instructions that he told us about? What were some of them, guys? Can you help me out here? Some of our paddling instructions. You don't even remember them. Come on. High side, all right? There's one called high side where you're supposed to all get on the high side so that side goes down and you don't tip over. What's another one? Anybody remember? Yeah. That's right. Brush good, bump bad. He was explaining how to get through one area in particular. But we needed to pay attention to those instructions because they would save us a lot of grief on the trip. And some of them we didn't get saved by because we couldn't either figure out how to do it or we just didn't know how, physically couldn't do what he was asking us to do. I remember the one that Tyler was talking about. He said, go 6.5 inches to the right of Whale Rock. Like 6.5 inches, okay. Sure. And he said, you know what, if you don't hit that just right, you're going to bounce off one rock, get flipped over on another, and onto a third rock called the cheese grater. He said, you can just imagine what a cheese grater will do to your skin. So we paid really close attention to that because we really didn't want to get on the cheese grater. So it's important for us to listen to instruction, not to just hear it, but the important thing is to be able to apply that instruction, put it into practice. Hearing instruction is good for something, but not a whole lot if you can't really put that into practice. Well, I was thinking for us as believers, what are some of the guides that we have? And an obvious guide, I was supposed to click that earlier, is the Holy Spirit. We as believers, we have a primary guide of the Holy Spirit. And I think sometimes we forget about the fact that we have the Spirit of God living inside of us, who can direct us through life, who can give us answers to questions that we have, to help us navigate the unknown rapids of life that we find ourselves in. I love the promise that Jesus gives in John 14 and 16. He's talking about the coming of the Holy Spirit. And he says, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. So we have a great guide in the Holy Spirit that we as believers need to take advantage of. We need to rely on that guide, not on our own strength to figure out how we're going to do this through the rapids, but to rely on the Holy Spirit. It was amazing to me when there's one part of the rapids that the guide would not let us go through by ourselves. And so they would get in the boat, take one through, and then go back, walk back, and take another one through. It was interesting when he got in our raft because I noticed one thing. He would tell us, tell who to, which side to paddle, and then he would just tell us to stop. And we weren't used to doing that. It's like, well, we're going down, we need to paddle, don't we? No, In fact, I remember him getting on Tyler in our rack. He's like, because Tyler kept trying to paddle. He's like, okay, slow down, big guy. But it was a lot easier when he was in our raft because he knew when to paddle and when not to. And I had to think about it as believers. I think sometimes we think that we just got to paddle the whole time and it's up to us, you know, to figure this out, to get it right, to do it the best that we can. And that's not true. We have a guide that can tell us when to paddle and when to stop and rest. And it's so much easier when we depend on that guide instead of depending on our own abilities in order to get through life. So it reminded me of that situation. It'd be silly for us to tackle a river without guides, and it's also silly to tackle life without depending on God and His Word for empowerment. And that's the next one I was going to talk about is the Bible. We have the Bible that is a great guide for us. The Bible relates to all the things that we're going through in life. And I wonder, do we use that guide? Do we utilize it? Do we understand it? Do we read it? Do we apply what we understand in that to our lives? I mentioned that one raft would go first. Maybe I didn't mention that, but we had one raft that would go first in front of us, and he had a guide. There was a guide in that raft, and the rest of us were supposed to follow. And Ryan pointed out, every time we would get through a rapids, we'd pull off to the side, and our primary guide would say, when he was done, he'd say, now follow Larry, because he knows the way. And Larry was that guide in the first raft. Every time he'd say, follow Larry, he knows the way. What does that remind you of? Anybody? For your spiritual walk. Follow Jesus. He knows the way, right? Aren't we followers of Christ? We're supposed to be following in His footsteps. And He really knows the way. In fact, He is the way. And so that's one thing that's jumped out at me as I thought of my Christian walk. Follow Jesus. He knows the way. Rescue everyone. Now, the guide was real clear. He said, I don't care. If you see somebody in the river, you pull them out. Okay? I don't care if they're part of your group or not. Okay, pull them out of the river. You see somebody floating by. So don't just like somebody falls out of your raft and you're worried about them, you know, so you fish them out, but everybody else is floating by. It wasn't too long. We were in the river and we saw this lady come floating by. And I have to admit, it took me a while to realize, well, that's cool, but, you know, we should probably rescue her. And so we tried to get over there, you know, and we almost ran over. But so then we backed off, like, we really don't know how to do this rescuing thing. So we couldn't get to her. So she just floated on by. And we let her go. Fortunately, somebody else pulled her out of the river. But the thing that I think of that is don't allow inexperience to stop you from trying to rescue somebody. I know that some of you are thinking, well, I can't reach out to people because I don't know what to say. I don't know how to answer their questions. I don't know how to help this person. But don't let that stop you from trying to rescue people. Try and rescue. You see somebody in trouble, try and rescue them. Whether they're a believer who's going through difficult times or whether it's an unbeliever who doesn't know how to be saved, try and rescue that person. Rescue everyone. And part of rescuing, later on, we actually were successful in rescuing a guy. We were waiting to go through the next part of the rapids, and the guide said, now don't go through here until the guide goes through. You guys wait here and wait for the guide. Well, in the meantime, this guy comes floating down the river. And so we had to decide what to do. Well, we need to rescue him. So we got out. It took two of us to get him in the raft. And in the meantime, our raft floats out into the rapids. And we're looking at each other like, he told us to stay. But we didn't really have a choice. We were in the rapids, and the guide wasn't there, so we just had to figure it out and get through. It's the same when we rescue people in life. There's risk involved. No question. When we reach out to somebody and try and help them, there's risk involved. We need to be willing to take that risk and rescue people. And last, we're all in this together. Sorry, I keep thinking of that High School Musical song every time I see that. In fact, I had that song run through my head this morning. My daughter pointed out, she said, "That's from High School Musical." I'm like, "Oh, yeah." But anyways, we're all in this together. We had a great time together. I enjoyed being with these guys. And I got to know them a lot better on this trip. It was just fun being together. We went camping that night. It's fun to be on an adventure with other people. And it's really true, as believers, we are on an adventure together. And isn't it great that we get to go on that adventure with each other? And I'm excited about being on that adventure with you guys. And I hope that I'll be able to help pull you in the raft at times, and you'll be able to help pull me in at times. I hope that I'll be able to do my part in rafting correctly to keep the raft straight, you know. And I thank you for doing the same. But we are in this together. We are working together as a body of believers. And we will survive these rapids. And someday we will emerge victorious as our guide brings us home. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for how you teach us in life through many different ways. I thank you for reminding me of the ways that we can depend on you. And I pray, Father, that as we go through life, that we would realize that we really do have our own choices about whether we want to follow you, whether we want to surrender our lives to you. May we do that. May we accept our responsibility. I pray that we would be prepared, that we would utilize all the things that you've given to us in order to navigate in this journey. And Father, I ask that you would help us to depend also on our guides, to depend on the Holy Spirit, to show us the way, to depend on your power to make it through, and to read your word and utilize it in our lives. And Lord, I pray that as we see people in need and in help, that we would rescue them. And we know that we can't rescue them ourselves. It is really only you that can rescue them. But you want to use us in that process to see people rescued. May we be willing to do that. And Lord, I pray that we would have an appreciation for each other on this journey, that we would help each other, that we would draw strength from each other and encouragement, so that we, in the end, will emerge victorious. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.